the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, as the church keeps the feast of Christ the King, we are called to lift up our eyes above the kingdom of this world and to behold the everlasting reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This feast that we celebrate today is comparatively recent, 1925, in its institution. It expresses, though, what it is at the very heart of our faith. What is it that is at the very heart of our faith? It is that Christ reigns even now, not only in heaven, but Christ reigns over his church, and Christ reigns over all of creation. So that his kingdom, though not of this world, is breaking into this world through his grace. And his kingdom breaks in this world through the church. We are the church. And that one day, as the first hymn we started with says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. So, we have a promise, and I want us to look at the Old Testament pointed for today, although not read, but it's from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah speaks of a time of spiritual confusion and corruption in Israel. And the prophet Jeremiah cries out in chapter 23, he says, woe be unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Jeremiah said those words because Israel's leaders had failed badly in their duty. The flock that they were supposed to be harnessing or taking care of, the flock was scattered and vulnerable. Yet God promises that he himself will raise up a righteous shepherd king. Jeremiah goes on to say, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So this prophecy finds its fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the true son of David. Jesus is the shepherd who gathers the flock. So where earthly rulers fail, Christ reigns in righteousness. Where human power oppresses, the dominion of Christ brings peace. And Jeremiah's promise reminds us, my brothers and sisters, that the kingship of Christ is not political, but the kingship of Christ is pastoral. The kingship of Christ, is revealed through mercy, the mercy of God. So in a world, or in the world in which we live, it is full of false shepherds. The world in which we live is full of scattered souls. So the church has a responsibility in a situation like this. The church must bear witness that there is only one true king. One true king who rules by what? By truth and love. So if that is the case, then every altar in Christendom is a throne. Every altar is a throne. Every mass that we attend is the proclamation that Jesus Christ reigns. He is king, not only in heaven, but truly, sacramentally, Jesus Christ reigns among his people. So, in the epistle for today from Colossians, St. Paul gives us one of the most glorious affirmations of Christ's kingship in all of Scripture. All of Scripture. Listen to what St. Paul says. He declares that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. What do we see here? We see that the kingship of Christ is not limited to the spiritual realm, but the kingship of Christ encompasses all of creation. The universe itself bears his royal seal. All things were created by him, through him, and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. But again in the epistle, Paul even goes further. Paul goes even further by saying, and he is the head of the body, the church. This means, my friends, that the reign of Christ is not only cosmic, but it is also intimate. The reign of Christ reaches into our very lives. The King of the universe rules from where? From the cross. His throne is the altar. His crown is of thorns, and his scepter is mercy. And what kind of kingdom does he establish? One that is marked, not marked by conquest, but one that is marked by reconciliation. God wants to bring all things together, that we may all be one. Unity. St. Paul says that it is through Christ, that the Father reconciles all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. And that is the mystery of his reign. That's the mystery of his reign. The paradox of a king who conquers by dying. A king who reigns by serving. A king who restores by forgiving. That is our king. So this is the dominion of which we pray in today's collect. That all the kindreds of the earth, or all the peoples of the earth, set free from the calamity of sin, may be brought under his most gracious dominion. So, the kingdom of Christ begins not with coercion, but with conversion. We are not coerced, but we are converted. The kingdom of Christ begins not with armies, but with hearts transformed by grace. And finally, my friends, in the gospel according to St. John chapter 18, we stand in Pilate's judgment hall and witness the meeting of two kingdoms. Two kingdoms met there, the earthly kingdom and the eternal kingdom. Pilate, representing the might of Rome, he asked the question, "Are thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world." He does not mean that his kingdom is unreal or distant, but it is not built upon the power of this world. His kingdom, his kingship, is founded on truth. Truth. "For this cause," Jesus says, "I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Here, my friends, Christ defines his reign. What is his reign? It is the reign of truth. It is the reign of holiness. It is the reign of love. Truth, holiness, and love. It is the kingdom of conscience, of hearts renewed by grace, of souls set free from the lies of sin. So, to belong to Christ's kingdom is first and foremost to listen to his voice. If we don't listen to him, we can't belong to him. So, to belong to Christ's kingdom is to listen to his voice, to submit to his will, and to live as subjects of the king who rules not by compulsion but by conviction and love. So Pilate could not see it. Pilate saw only a prisoner before him. "Are you the king of the Jews? Why have you come here before me?" Pilate saw a prisoner, not realizing that the one in chains was the true judge of all the earth. The cross that would soon rise outside of Jerusalem was in truth, the coronation of the King of Kings. So, to proclaim Christ as King is to make a choice. That is what the significance of today's feast is all about. We have to make a choice. It's a choice of allegiance. It is to live as citizens of heaven even while we walk upon earth. The collect for today reminds us that Christ's purpose is to restore all things. In him, every fragment of our lives. In him, every broken relationship. In him, every nation. In him, every soul finds its true order and peace. Only in Christ that we'll find order in our lives and peace in our lives. So, if Christ is truly King, then our faith must not remain private or sentimental. His kingship, my brothers and sisters, demands our obedience. His kingship demands our continued worship. His kingship demands our service. It calls us to honor him in our homes, to honor him in our work, to honor him in our dealings with others, for there is no corner of life over which he does not rightly say, "This is mine. This is mine." So let us therefore today on this feast renew our loyalty to our King. Not merely with our lips, but with our lives. Let us bow down before him in adoration at his altar. Every time we pass the altar, we bow. Every time his name is mentioned, we bow. Let us continue to bow before him in adoration and go forth to serve him in the world with courage and compassion. For to serve Christ the King is perfect freedom. And to live under his dominion is to find peace. The peace that we're looking for is to be found under his dominion. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.